Hart gecheckt wird euch präsentiert von Prechtl. Regional einkaufen und genießen. Deine Supermärkte in der Region Rosenheim.
Hart gecheckt. Der Podcast zu den Star Bulls Rosenheim. Präsentiert von der OVB Sportredaktion.
Servus, liebe Eishockey-Freunde. Es wird wieder hart gecheckt. Und zwar in der 76. Ausgabe des Podcasts der OVB Sportredaktion über die Star Bulls Rosenheim. Und wir sprechen natürlich in dieser Ausgabe über die Star Bulls. Und zwar über den Sieg in Weißwasser und über den Heimsieg nach Verlängerung gegen Kaufbeuren. 5 Punkte hat es an diesem Wochenende gegeben. Und wir tun das. Mein Name ist Thomas Neumeier von der OVB Sportredaktion. An meiner Seite mein Kollege Marco Alexic. Servus Marco.
Servus zusammen.
Und wir haben heute einen ganz besonderen Gast, nämlich einer, der schon dafür gesorgt hat, dass die Star Bulls ein Heimspiel gewonnen haben in der Verlängerung. Der Siegtorschütze aus dem Landshutspiel war es damals. Herzlich willkommen, Luis Sörter Gossec.
Servus, danke.
Servus, hi. Sörter Gossec oder Sörter Gossage?
Gossec.
Gossec.
Yeah, okay. Common misconception. People see the Gossage from Montreal and assume it's French. It's actually a British name, so... It makes it a little like already it's kind of a hard name.
Okay.
So it makes it even more confusing, but Sörter Gossage, yeah.
Okay. Now we change in English. And Luis, it's a little bit tradition that our guest introduce himself in a few words. And we are ready to hear from you.
Okay. Yeah. So hi, Star Wars fans. I'm Luis Sörter Gossage. I'm from Montreal. I've been playing pro for 7 years now. I've been in Germany for 3.5, played in North America, East Coast League, American Hockey League, and played in NCAA. Honestly, I've been around a lot of places from hockey, and I've had a lot of cool experiences, but now I'm full in my German era, and I've been working on my German. I'm not quite there to do the interview in Deutsch yet, but you know, I've of German family, and so being here and being a part of the culture is really cool.
I hope this era gets a long time.
Yeah. No, it's so far, I'm enjoying it. So I don't see an end in sight.
Werbung! Marco, die Woche hat Prechtl wieder echt Heimspiel. Die Apfelwoche in allen Märkten mit regionalen Äpfeln aus dem Inntal, direkt von der Familie Niedertanner. Du findest die gesunden und nett gespritzten Äpfel in Raubling, Brandenburg, Bad Aibling und Bad Feilenbach. So frisch, da beschlagt sogar fast das Visier.
Und zusätzlich läuft an diesem Freitag die nächste Frischfischaktion in Bad Feilenbach. Wie bei den bisherigen Aktionen gibt's frische Meeresware und Markthighlights wie einen ganz guten Thunfisch.
Und schon Vormerker, nächste Woche folgt die wilde Woche. Ab Donnerstag in allen Prechtl-Märkten gibt's frisches Rehfleisch, Hirsch- und Wildschweinkeulen, geräucherte Wildschweinwurzen, luftgetrockneten Wildschweinschinken und noch viel mehr. Alles frisch, Weidmannsprechtl. Klingt fast wie Torjubel nach dem Siegtreffer.
Apfelwoche jetzt in allen Filialen, Frischfischaktion am Freitag in Bad Feilenbach. Und nächste Woche die wilde Woche bei Prechtl, da geht's mir gut.
Werbung Ende.
Okay, we make three periods, like the game, and in the first period we look back to the games that the Star Wars won, at Weißwasser and against Kaufbeuren. And are you satisfied with the 5 points?
I think we've had a trend of being up, going to the third at home and winning in overtime, like getting that 2 points. It feels like three. We get two. It's not the same on the towards the standings, but it feels like two wins. So 5 out of 6, you know, we'll take that. But I think it's obvious at this point we need to clean up how we finish games. Weißwasser was, I guess, Bietigheim as well. Those were the two games where we had more than a 1-goal lead, and then we were able to kind of pack it in and finish the game steadily. But we've had issues finishing games with a 1-goal lead going into the third. So I think obviously the 5 points is good towards the standings, but we're continually learning lessons as to what we could do and fix so that it's 6 points instead of 5. But obviously we're happy with 2 wins. 2 wins is 2 wins, you know.
Okay.
At the game in Weißwasser, I think one of the key factors was the strong net front presence. You screened in the perfect timing. Why did that work so well in that game?
Well, that's something that we're really trying to make a key focus for us. I think it's if you look at the NHL or the top leagues, like almost I mean, I don't know the stats, but so many of the goals are created from things that don't look like great opportunities. But if people are in certain areas screening the goalie, it makes it so much harder for them. And we know Vice Foster is a great goalie. He's a friend of mine, Tony Marone, and he's going to stop shots that he can see. So you see with Addy's two goals and then Shane's goal, they're not threatening chances. And those are opportunities that present themselves quite a bit where you move the puck up to the point, get a shot. So if we're doing things like getting bodies to the net and making scoring chances out of things that don't seem that threatening, we can win games. I mean, we scored three goals like that game. So I think that's something that obviously we want to make plays and score nice goals. But if we're scoring one, two goals like that in a game, I think with how we play defense, it's something that could really help us win.
It was obviously that you changed the play to get the puck in front of the goal. Mm-hmm. The games before, it was not so good. You have a lot of shots, but you missed the goal oft. Yeah. You and not you, but, well, but the team. but it was obviously you changed the game.
Yeah, and I think it's funny. It's a simple style, but it's tough mentally, because it's a lot of physicality and hard work to get to the net, and even just getting shots to the net when teams are trying to block shots. It seems more simple than it is, but it's something that I think could be really helpful for us against any caliber of team in this league. Because if you're able to get chances out of simply putting pucks on net, then you could win tight games. It's the type of thing where you don't need a ton of momentum in the game to kind of change everything with just a bounce or something. So it's like you said, you just got to hit the net or else it's not going to go in. And then Vice Foster, we saw us getting rewarded for just putting it on.
Simple, but quite effective.
Yeah, exactly.
How important would you rate that experience on Friday, considering the disappointing weekend before?
Yeah, we were upset with last weekend. I think everybody was. We didn't feel like we played badly, especially Krimichow. Like, we had a lot of shots. There's always a few things that we do wrong that have been causing us our problems and have been leading to us getting scored on. But we came to the rink preparing for this last weekend with a positive attitude. I think when we came in on Tuesday, some of us were worried that we'd be a little over negative after the two losses, but I think we looked at film and saw the things we did well, and we didn't get down on ourselves. And I think that was a big reason why we were able to bounce back and have really a good full three periods and vice versa. And then even Sunday, I think we played a pretty complete game. So sometimes it's, you know, it's the emotion of losing. It's tough, but it brings out what you need to kind of get over that. So maybe we needed it, you know. Mm. Still early, a lot of games.
I think it was a little bit of mentally against Krimichow in the third period. The body language was not so as against Kaufbeuren. Yeah. When you be 1-2 back, and Kaufbeuren, and you bounced back, the body language was in another style.
Yeah, I could see that. I think it's really deflating when you have a lead and then give it up. And then it's happened, like I said earlier, many times so far at home. So when you have the energy that maybe you're going to have the lead and ride it through the game, and then it switches up like that, it's a big change. And that's on us to stick with it. And I think we've had a lot of good responses to giving up goals in the third. Like, our first weekend to go to overtime against Dusseldorf and Landshut, we were down, right? So we have confidence in ourselves to be able to get it back, but it's just something that we need to not get there in the first place, you know. Like, getting, I think our challenge will be to get that two goal lead, and then from then, if we can start doing that, then I'm sure that the wins will feel less stressful for us and the fans.
For us too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, on Friday you started strong and managed to see it through to the end. But on Sunday it took a little bit longer to get on the scoreboard. How did you see the game against Kaufbeuren, especially the first period?
Yeah, I think we played well, and all of our lines are looking pretty comfortable in the offensive zone now. And I think defensively, that's an area that we have been pretty good all year, at least in the D zone. Like, we've given up chances off mistakes and rush and stuff, and we're cleaning that up. But offensively, I think that was the most comfortable we've looked. And so even though we didn't score right away, I feel like everybody still had pretty good energy around our chances in the game. So when we did eventually score, you know, sometimes you just get four bounces. Like vice versa, we score shots from the point, and even if you're not getting as many great chances or playing as well offensively, things go in. And then there are nights where you're doing everything right and you can't score.
They blocked really good.
Yeah, they do that. They do that well. So it's you just got to stick with it. And I think you saw how we answered back with a few minutes left. Like, obviously, Tsviki's goal was really big, but I think the general play and how we were controlling the game in the last few minutes when we needed a goal was really impressive too. I just think there's a lot of positive trends for our team, and you know, each weekend we'll see, we'll learn more about what we can do, and so many more games to play.
What role makes the long trip on Friday? You came back at Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Have to regenerate. What does it make for the Kaufbeuren game?
Honestly, it's funny. We have been coming back and then getting a little movement in and doing a little training in the morning, and then relaxing for the rest of the day. And I think we've felt pretty good on Sundays after it. Like, I know it's easy to kind of expect the Sunday game to feel really difficult on the body, but so far I think we've had a lot of energy on Sundays after the Krefeld and the Kaufbeuren or the Weisswasser trips. So it's two games a week, you know. It's a lot. The games are a lot, but we have enough energy to sustain it from what I've seen. So
yeah, it's good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think in my opinion, in the game against Kaufbeuren, the finishing wasn't quite there, I think. And the two goals against were scored where the puck was lost in the offensive zone, and then two against one break and ended up in the net. That's not how it should be, right?
Yeah, those are the things. We talk about moments being what can decide the game. And if you're dominating 58 minutes and then you have 2 minutes where stuff like that happens and they score, then all the good stuff you did was kind of pointless. So that's something we're still cleaning up. And that's been an area that I think we've had issues with since preseason. You know, we limit those going forward. Obviously, we have two good examples of that from the weekend, so it's something that we can try and be a little bit more concentrated on. And then if we were to be scoring more, it would be less of a problem, but it's just with how tight the league is, like those 2-1 games, 3-2 games, you can't be giving up 2-on-1s and chances to teams that, you know, aren't necessarily giving you those chances back. So
yeah. We're leaving the goals against back, and we're going to the good things. You change the game, you turn it into a win, and you have outstanding statistics at the face-offs.
Yeah.
I think Jari is looking especially for this statistics, and you win 7 of 8.
Yeah. I've been taking them only on my right side, so it's backhand. It's a little I've been playing on Charlie's right side, I guess Luigi as well, so we just take it on our strong side, which is a little easier. So I'm doing pretty well on it. There's nothing I've really changed, I think.
No secrets.
A lot of it's just about focus and kind of getting there early and not cheating, but doing whatever the refs allow you to do, because if you go there and you're a step behind the other guy, then he's gonna beat you to it. And then getting your weight, your body and your weight over it. And a lot of it's just me trying to tug it as hard as I can. And I guess I was pretty good at it last game.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you also was involved in the crucial 2-2 equalizer few minutes before the end. Your pass went out to Shane Hanna on the blue line and then tipped in by Sebastian Zwickel.
Yeah, that whole shift, Shane had the puck for like, it felt like a whole minute in the corner. But that's what I was talking about, how we answered that goal when they took the lead. And some games maybe it's harder to go back and answer when there's something that disappointing as them going up by one with a few minutes left. But I think we just had such good energy at the end of the game. And that shift was a great example because we could have scored two or three on that shift alone. And, you know, I was just at the net and got the puck and threw it up to Shane. And those are the simple plays, right, that we've been having some success with. So hopefully, you know, we keep doing that and we get rewarded for it. So.
Maybe 50 goals more of that.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Why not?
Another goal more of that, the game winner from Jordan.
Yes.
Three against three is difficult to defend, huh?
Yeah, it's obviously it's great. There's so much ice. So many chances can be had for both teams. So, you know, you have to take your chances and not force things. And I think we've done a pretty good job at that of when we have it in the offensive zone, if we don't have something that is a really strong chance, sometimes we'll bring it all the way back and get fresh legs. And Jordan has been really good for us. Like he's really fast and he plays fearlessly and he's really a good asset on 3-on-3 because he can wheel around and he's hard to catch. So it was just great to see him get that goal because he's been really good for us. And I think I played with him last year in Vice Foss. It was his first year and seeing him kind of grow with his confidence over that time. And, you know, he's undersized and makes no excuses. He's always there doing the dirty work. So he's one of those guys that's easy to root for as a teammate. So to see him have that moment was pretty cool.
And what a shot.
Yeah, great shot. Great shot.
Yeah, not only Jordan, but also you played with Maxi Adam in Vice Versa at your first stint there.
Yeah.
How does it make settling in and into a new team easier when you have a few familiar faces?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then when both of you are there for the first time, it adds just more comfort at the early stages. And I think this team was super welcoming to everybody. Like it's been very comfortable in the locker room since day one. But when you have a few guys that you can chat with or lean on a bit more early on and that you know are also going through the little growing pains that you are as well, I think it goes a long way. And it seems like a lot of Vice Foster guys end up here at some point, but Dylan as well. So yeah, I think it's helpful to have people you're familiar with.
Okay, Luis, let's leave our first period. Let's leave the last weekend behind.
Yeah.
And let's go to the second period. Cool. And this is about you, okay. Only about you.
Nice.
And we start with a little game. It's called 60 Seconds.
Okay.
And I make some beginning of sentences and you have to fulfill it.
Okay, cool.
And let's look how much we can make.
60 Sekunden, präsentiert von Brechtl. Wo der Mensch zählt, im Markt und im Team.
When I want to relax, then
I lie with my dog.
My place to be in holiday is?
In the mountains.
Okay. If I would not become a hockey player, then I would be?
This is 60 seconds. I'll just say musician. I have musicians in my family. So.
Okay. If I could change one day with another person, then this would be?
Oh my God, these are good. Maybe go to LeBron.
Okay.
LeBron James.
My idol as a child was?
Saku Koivu.
Ah, yeah. On game day, my favorite food is?
Just rice and chicken, simple.
My routine before the game?
Go on a little run and stretch, nothing too crazy.
Stop.
Dauert ein bisschen länger als 60 Sekunden, lohnt sich aber. Bewirb dich jetzt und werde ein Teil vom Brechtl-Team. Hier geht's mir gut.
Place to be in holiday, the mountains?
Yeah. Well, and like now it is just every day.
You love it here, right?
Yeah, exactly.
at which mountain you were?
During my year in Bietigheim, we went to Innsbruck and we just kind of went around. And it's East Coast, Canada, and the U.S., we have mountains, but here it's just a different level. Yeah. And so it's just I grew up being around ski hills and you know, a little more snow than what I've seen in some parts since. But I just find there's a lot of beauty around here and in the mountains. Yeah.
Okay. Relaxing with a dog?
Yeah, I'm just imagining myself lying down with him. He's a Jack Russell Mini Schnauzer, so he's got a lot of energy, but he's also very, very cuddly. And
what's his name? Cute.
Boone.
Boone.
Boone, yeah.
musician.
Yeah, I think that was...
A lot of musicians in the family.
So this one kind of stumped me because it's... You asked what I would be doing if I wasn't a hockey player, and I think there's like the... If I had never started my hockey journey, you know, or versus if I had to go get a job right now, I want to do something that I'm passionate about. And I feel like maybe if I was young and pursued music at a young age, then I could be down that path. But I think if I had to get a job right now, that's something I can't. What kind answer. Of
what kind of musician would you be? A singer, drummer,
guitar. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing. I mean, I like a lot of genres, but I do have my cousins and uncles on my mom's side of the family are all musicians in Montreal. So
what kind of guitar, lead guitar or?
I guess either. I like lead. I grew up liking the rock solos and stuff when I was young. Guitar Hero. And
You set the playlist on the home game.
I did.
What kind of music was there?
It was kind of rappy and then half rap, half rock, but a lot of kind of faster, more BPM stuff to get us going. Yeah.
And Saku Koivu, you make your coach proud. He's a Finnish player.
Yeah, well, he's just, you think of Montreal legend. He was, especially during my childhood, and he went through a lot. But he was just iconic when I was young. So,
You were born in Montreal?
Yeah.
And we have some guests here. One of this was Rick Böhm, German Canadian. He's coaching the young team from the Stables, and he grew up in a small town, 800 people living there, and you were born in a big city. You're growing up in Montreal?
Yeah, in the city. So
you are really hip.
Yeah, I'm a Habs guy for sure. And now, like, we just re-signed Hudson to 8 years. So I'm looking at the future for the Habs, and it's looking pretty bright over the next 6 to 8 years.
When will it come, the next Canadian Stanley Cup?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking it'll be Montreal. That's how it feels right now. Yeah.
Okay. What was growing up in the city for you?
It was cool. And I think it's different than a lot of hockey players that I've played with. You know, once I've gone to pros, like, for whatever reason, a lot of people in Montreal from the city stopped playing, but the people from maybe the suburbs, there's a lot of really good players that continued. So there's not too many that I grew up with that still play. There's a couple in AHL, NHL, but like very limited numbers. But it's a very passionate hockey city, and I always enjoyed being in the city itself. We go back every summer, but I've moved around quite a bit in hockey, so I'm used to living anywhere at this point. I'm never in one place for very long.
It hasn't been the big city.
No, Weisswasser, here, Bietigheim, anywhere in between, so yeah.
Yeah, I think your father is German.
Yeah.
What's the story of your family?
So his parents moved from Germany a few years after the war. I think they got to Canada in like the late 40s, and then my dad was born a few years later. So he was a citizen at birth, and my Oma and Opa were, of course, very German. Like they moved. I'm not sure exactly how old they were when they came to Canada, but I spent a lot of time with them when I was young. They're both passed now and have been for a while. But I always had a part of me that felt very German, although I was not always exposed to the language or culture when I was young. But my Oma and Opa were around every weekend when I was a kid. And when we'd watch the World Cup or something, I was hardcore for Deutschland. So I've always seen myself as German. And then my dad... had citizenship, but he in Canada, he wasn't using it for any purpose because he was just staying in Canada. And then his citizenship ran out and then he renewed it. And then I got citizenship kind of based off of him being a citizen as well. So obviously there's like the German North American hockey player thing that, that has happened quite a bit recently. I've done quite a bit of Duolingo in German, but one day I will be able to speak German, and I want to honor that because I don't like being the German Canadian guy who doesn't know what's going on, but I can understand at this point.
Where do they come from? The parents, the great parents.
I know my oma's from Mönchengladbach, we have family kind of sprinkled around Borken, I believe, as well, like up north, and then some family around Dresden, and then others that are within this area, actually, I think, as well.
Did you visit them?
I haven't visited. But I have met with family who came to see me. In Berlin.
And how was it?
It was cool. Like it's not something that everybody gets to do. Come to a different continent and see all these things that were happening before you were born. Like obviously, North America is. It's quite new compared to Europe. So there's a lot of moments where I'm just like, it's really cool that I'm going to do this. And my grandparents had no idea that I would do this. And now they're both passed away. So it always gives me those feelings of like, wow, I'm sure they would be pretty impressed with what they've allowed me to do with the German cast. Yeah.
Is there something typical German on you?
Ooh. Well, I guess I think like one of the most German things about me was probably when I was a kid and spending time with my oma and opa. And now it makes a lot of sense to me because I grew up in Montreal, but my oma and opa got land in an hour and a half away from Montreal in East Ontario.
Yeah.
And it's just right across from a farm, and he built two houses, and they're just always making stuff, and they're very crafty with things that they make. And then I get to Germany and I see how much Germans are just efficient with building stuff. And like my dad, you see a lot of Germany in this little area that my oma and opa moved. Okay. So when I came to Germany, I was like, you know what? I kind of see how they tried to bring Germany to Montreal and North America. So I think just probably culturally, I've always, even when I didn't really know anything about German culture, because I'd never been, I've always associated myself with Germany and you know, the football team. I cried in 2006 when they lost to Italy in the World Cup semis. So I've always kind of just considered myself German.
And when it's going to the Ice Hockey World Cup?
True,
You also cheer for Germany?
Yeah, of course.
Canada?
Yeah. Okay. Of course. Yeah, well, it's Canada, it's kind of unfair to cheer for them in ice hockey. I hate to say it. They're still too good.
Back to Canada time. Yeah. What was your first experience with hockey?
I was six or seven. I was actually playing football or soccer. Well, football, of course.
Okay.
Before hockey.
As winger?
I was a striker. I kind of played everything, but I was an athletic kid. And Montreal, obviously there's a lot of hockey, but I think there's so many different cultures there that a lot of young people are pretty into football as well. Like, I would say now when you look at Canada was in the World Cup last time, and now they're hosting. It's pretty cool to see all that happening. But
I think more kids are playing football now than ice hockey.
Yeah, well, it's growing in popularity a lot, and I think it's kind of just about time with that. But then winters are long, so there's a lot of hockey as well. But I started with football, and then hockey a few years later, and then I think when I was around 13, I specialized in hockey because I was a little bit better. And I was like, you know what? Hockey versus football in Canada, my chances are probably a little better with hockey. I started at 6 or 7 and then I was pretty good when I was young, but I don't have hockey players in my family. So it wasn't like one of those cases of my dad was a pro player and was bringing me to the rink every day and put me on skates at 2. But once I got into the hockey lifestyle and my brother was playing as well, we became a hockey family very quick. Okay. And so my parents really supported me through that and did whatever they could to allow me to get to where I am today. And I appreciate it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, you played AAA in Canada juniors, then went to Kent School. And I think the real step was at Penticton Wees.
Yeah, yeah. The BCHL, I played there for 1 year when, after prep school, I had committed to play at Harvard for my college, and they'd said they were filled up with roster spots for that next year, so go play a year of juniors, which is very common in the North American or the NCAA scene. I know now it's changing with people from the CHL can go, but at the time it was... I needed to play a year of juniors to prepare for college. And so I went and wasn't doing any school or anything, just kind of first taste of what I guess it's like now. It's hockey.
Okay.
And
you won the title.
Yeah, we won the BCHL, we won Western Canada, and then we lost in the semis of the Nationals. But Penticton has been one of those teams that I think widely regarded as a top junior A Canadian program, and now they're in the WHL. And it's, that was the first time that it was very competitive within the group we had. Like, everybody on the team was committed to go D1, and Kent School was also a really good team, but Penticton, it was like, you kind of felt like you had to bring your game every day because someone was there to replace you to some extent. It was a little bit like pro before pro. And I think that year taught me a lot about just the little details of hockey and certain things, mistakes you can't make, and little habits of how to be prepared for games. And, okay. So I think that prepared me for college pretty well as well. Yeah.
There are some players in your team that play now in the NHL.
Yeah.
Tyson Yost, Dante Fabbri.
Yeah. They were 16 at the time. And sometimes you could just tell that kids are going to play in the NHL. And that was the case with them. Yeah.
Was it at that time that you realized you could play pro someday?
I think that was probably after at the start of my second year in college, because my first year, obviously at Harvard, you go and you have the everybody there has the shared interest of academics, and you're very aware that you could get yourself in a pretty good position in life by getting through the challenges of school and all that. And I think early on, you're like, I'd love to play pro if I can, but I'm also going to set myself up to get a cool job or something afterwards. And then after my first year, I hadn't played a ton because we had a lot of older guys, especially right-handed forwards. And then a bunch of them graduated, and I got slotted in to play with two guys that are in the NHL now, actually, Alex Kerfoot from Utah, and then Ryan Donato from Chicago. So I got kind of thrown into playing on their line, and it was a little nerve-wracking, but I found a way to stick with them the whole year, and then we got to the Frozen Four. So we had a really good season, and I was at that point, I was like, you know what, let's just see what I can do with this, because I'm playing with guys that are capable of doing it, so maybe I can get there at some point. And obviously I didn't reach the heights that they did, but I think I picked up a lot of little, you know, mentality things from these successful players that were around me and in college.
Going to college was quite a reasonable decision, and not losing your dream of being a hockey player.
And I think my mom had always kind of preached the value of education to me. She's a teacher, a retired teacher now, and to me early on, like, I wanted to use hockey to get something out of it, whether it's, I mean, I don't think I was thinking pro at the time, but I always thought NCAA looked really cool. And I knew some people from Montreal that did a similar prep school and then get exposure to US colleges and then play NCAA. So that was always something that was of interest to me. And then once I was doing pretty well in NCAA, I was never, you know, the best. I wasn't drafted or anything, but I think I realized that I'm at a school with a lot of very smart people who have their stuff pretty figured out. And I was able to get through the school with them and while playing hockey. And then when I was there, I was like, I'm going to give hockey a shot and see how long I can go. And then as I've kept playing, I was like, you know what? I feel like doing this until I can't, because I have, you know, a timeline with being able to play the sport. And that's what I've kind of been doing my whole life. So why not keep doing it while I can? Right?
What did you study at Harvard?
Economics. Yeah. So it was challenging, and it was something that I think I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, but it, and a lot of it is, I'm not going to say I've forgotten it, but I would need to brush up on it.
I've forgotten everything.
Yeah, about no, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Most of my classmates went on to do different office jobs directly out of college and are working in New York or doing big things at this point, especially, you know, they're 7 years into their job. So they've kind of climbed the ranks at their businesses and whatnot. But I was a little bit less interested in that than they were, not to say that I wasn't putting in the time to get the work done. But I think looking back at it, I probably would do like psychology or something, just because it's a little more relevant to me now. Because I haven't really used my economics for
But you have
anything.
You have the graduation and you have it from Harvard.
Yeah, exactly. I have the degree and it's still there. It's collecting dust somewhere.
Oh,
but
my God. some former presidents were going there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It JFK was, and so on.
I think that's something that, I think of it every now and then where I'm just like, it is pretty crazy that I have that experience in the past, because there's so much like lore around Harvard, right? But it was so, eventually it became just normal to me. And, you know, it was very daunting when I was going in, because I was playing that year of junior, not going to school. And I'm like, am I really ready for this? But then you just kind of find a way. And I think a lot of what I learn there to get through it is stuff that's just translated to discipline and sports. So like, I know how hard those people that are there work in their fields. So, and I saw it firsthand, and I had to work like that as well in school to get through, because it's competitive, right?
No time for study life parties.
Yeah. It's a lot of, it really was, hockey and school, you know, I know that there's like a part of me that if I were to get back into work or whatever my job is next, that I'll kind of find that work ethic that I had in college and less physical things, but more just sitting down and putting time into learning and whatever it is I'm doing.
You played with guys like Adam Fox, who's playing for the New York Rangers. Do you still have contact to your former teammates?
Yeah, Fox is one of my good friends, actually. I gave a speech at his wedding a couple summers ago. So I always pull this out, like, no big deal. he's the one I talk to the most. He's a very regular guy. And we spend a lot of time together in college just doing regular student things. And then we went to Rangers rookie camp together, because I would sign with Hartford and he was with the Rangers. So we had our first little taste of pro together. So we have a lot of similarities, and I knew him before he was a Norris winner. And now I know him afterwards, and he's the same guy. And I've always watched him, and I don't understand how he plays the way he does, because he's such a cerebral, and he's such a clever player, and it's like the patience and poise he has is something I don't have. But it's like, he's kind of small, unassuming size defenseman, and he's literally created this style of play that GMs are now looking for in the NHL when he was drafted like third round, even though he was a stud, but they were just saying he's too small. So it's pretty cool to see what he's done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I ask you, what's your most famous contact in your phone? Is it Adam Fox?
It's got to be him. Yeah, I don't really. Just hockey guys. So yeah. If you won the Norris, like it's pretty good, and New York City. So yeah.
In the last season at Harvard, you were team captain.
Yes.
Was it a special honor for you?
It really was. I think it's got a ring to it when you say you were the captain of the Harvard hockey team. And it's not something that I expected when I went there. Yeah. But I think it's really to know that many people who are so, I mean, you look at them now, a lot of success as hockey players, and then people who are doing different things outside of hockey, to know that they trusted me to be one of the two co-captains is really special. 'Cause it's, like I said, a lot of lore and history that goes with Harvard. So when you think of it, I use it as somewhat of a reminder that, you know, I've done some cool things with hockey, and that's probably one of my coolest accomplishments. Yeah.
Okay.
Big responsibility.
Yeah.
And I had to give some speeches in front of fancy people at times, but I was comfortable in that. So it was cool.
What makes a good captain in your eyes?
I think just being... kind of being the eyes of the coach, but without the coach being around, while also always looking out in the best interests of the players, and the positive reinforcement that you can give to a team that might be down. Like in college, everyone's doing 4 years, so it's mainly seniors or people in their fourth year that are captains. So by then, you know what the coach wants and what is best for the team better than anyone. And I think you see that in pro as well. Like if people who you're not going to be a captain if it's your first couple of years of pro, like you have to have been around for a while. And I think a lot of it is just little things that affect the energy of the team. And if the coach is going crazy, maybe letting the players know, you know, he's doing this for a reason. It's not because he hates you or something. It's just, we got to be better than what we're doing. A lot of it's just kind of feeling out how things are, but then also you need to have a little bit of the willingness to discipline people if they're getting out of line, because you know it's 20 guys or more. I guess in college we had a larger group of people, so sometimes myself and my co-captain would have to have a meeting and be like, you know, whatever the coach is saying, we have to hold ourselves accountable as well. So there's just sometimes some difficult conversations to be had, but it's like a mini coach, I guess. Mm. Yeah.
How do you bring this experience from this time now in the German locker rooms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think now I'm getting to be one of the older guys, but a lot of our guys, especially this team, we don't really have anybody who is causing issues on the team. So I think when there are conversations that we're having, I have a willingness to speak, but I also, I understand that I'm new and I'm not as experienced as a lot of these guys. So I still will I'm still learning from other guys, but I do know that I have experience over young guys. So if I see younger guys that might need some sort of pick me up or something, I'll let them know. Because I think the more you play, the more you realize that sometimes when, say, like last weekend when we lost two games, and maybe someone was negative about that, like it once you've played enough, you know that with one weekend, the script can completely switch, yeah. Right? So sometimes in the moment, the experience is something that can guide you to making situations that seem bad not so bad. Okay. I think that's a lot of what leadership is.
Yeah. After your senior year at college, you played a few games in the AHL for Hartford, also played the following year. How was that experience for you? Pro games.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was a little eye-opening because it's so good. The caliber of American Hockey League, and so fast, so physical, and then you're not even in the top league yet. And I remember coming out of college where I'm one of the older guys, and then you go in and you got these guys who are like 10 plus year pros who have played a ton of NHL games, and you're now on a line with them or something. So there's a certain level of stress of like being thrown into it. But I think the end of the season, you really know when you're being signed for five games or something that it's a learning experience. It's not like you're being critiqued all that hard by them. They just want to see what you can do. So that was cool. And I played a fair bit in those five games. And then the next year, the Rangers kind of stocked up on a lot of veteran guys that were AHL, borderline NHL. So that locker room became very competitive. And then there was a lot of people that I could see how they operate and how they approach being pros. And that was cool as well, because it's different than college, of course.
Shesterkin was in the goal.
Yeah, yeah. That was his rookie year. Okay. So I would sometimes have to go out and shoot. The young guys would go shoot on the goalies before practice. And a few times I accidentally shot it by his head and he would start screaming at me in Russian. So I was just like, that's frightening. But you could tell right away with him, he'd already been a KHL stud at that point. But we knew that once he got up, he was going to stay in the NHL. Yeah.
And the coach was Chris Knobloch.
Chris Knobloch, yeah.
Coach Leon Draisaitl and Conor McDavid.
Yeah. And I always talk about how he was as a coach, because he has a different style, kind of like new school, a little.
Okay.
He wouldn't really raise his voice, but if he did, it seemed to mean a lot. Like he was friendly, but then he would suddenly, you knew that you messed up if you messed up, because he would rarely get pissed, but then he would. But I think it's also very, the team we had was so good, just like how NHL players are, that there's less disciplining that he needs to do. So he allows people to play very freely, I think. Yeah. Which I could see being a good, if you have a McDavid and Draisaitl, it could work out pretty well. Yeah.
You also played in the ECHL. One of your team members was Ty Ronning, top scorer of the EL.
Yeah, him and I were up and down in Hartford and Maine, and I knew that if he got a chance to play a bit more in the American League, he could do really well, because he's just at such game-breaking speed, and he was very quick, even though he's a little undersized. And then I think during COVID, he had a really good American League year. And then at that point, he kind of was out of the East Coast League at that point. And then, how he did in Berlin last year is pretty, pretty impressive. 37 goals or something. Mm-hmm. So, not bad.
We come to your first German experience. It was at Weiden.
Yeah.
11 games, but this was the Corona season.
Yeah.
I think a little bit difficult to start in Germany.
Yeah, that was a weird one, because a lot of North Americans were going to Europe, so you weren't really sure where you'd end up or if you'd get a job anywhere.
Yeah.
So the East Coast League teams I had played for were shut down for the year. And then, of course, you have the new young pros that are drafted and being signed that are all going to North America. So for a guy who was 25 at the time, who played 1 year a pro and is a free agent and was fourth line AHL, and then borderline, up and down East Coast League. So I didn't have this standout season to get me much leverage to go anywhere, right? Yeah. Eventually I got the opportunity in Weiden and went, and it was very different than they are now. I know that they've changed, sponsors and ownership and GMs and coach and everything by then. But, and we couldn't really do anything because of the COVID rules of travel and things being shut down. So it was being in Germany, but without really getting to experience it.
Yeah. You see the home and the rink.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it gave me more confidence for the next time I was going to come, I still was going to the grocery store and doing other little interactions and stuff, but it didn't feel as much like what it now feels like, right?
Yeah, you went back to America after that, but then signed with Eisbären Berlin. Quite a big step.
Yeah, that year they had a few injuries, and then my dad had gotten his German citizenship renewed, so I made it a little bit easier for me to get mine. And so I went to Weisswasser where, for the first month, and until November break, I think I signed the start of the month. And then I got a pretty bad injury in Weisswasser and then went to Berlin to rehab. And then, came back after that, and it didn't go great for me, largely because of injuries that I had that year. But it was a very high caliber of hockey as well. Like I look at it and I'm very grateful I got that opportunity, and it was really cool to be in that rink with all those fans, but I never really got to play at my full health, which yeah. It's kind of a what if in my career. But I'm happy, very happy with how I've settled in since then. And it taught me a lot about just dealing with what's given to you. You know, like it was a great chance to be in this team and see how these guys operate, even though it was a down year for Berlin.
Yeah.
And it was really quite stressful because I was just, you know, in my first chance to win the German market. And then I think it just didn't work out how I hoped it would.
Yeah.
But you know, life goes on and it's always, there's always something that'll come up down the road. So
Your hockey life went on, Weißwasser, Bietigheim, Weißwasser, and now in the south to Rosenheim. Yeah. What about the language?
I'm Bavarian, it's a different story. But my German it's a work in progress. I think I'm more, I'm maybe selling myself short a bit because I do understand a fair bit. Yeah. But a lot of it is just doing apps. And I think I learned French at a young age, right? Yeah. So I know how to learn a language. And I think I also had a lot of confidence issues speaking French when I was young because I was an English guy on a team of mainly French guys. And then sometimes you just got to go and put yourself out there and speak and try to learn through other people. So lately I've been, especially with Foley, trying to learn some Bavarian from him, but that's easier said than done. But I think
we said when you come in, Habidere, it goes really good.
Yeah, Habidere. Yeah, it's it's classic. It's
you are here in Rosenheim since summer. Are you a little bit settled now?
Yeah, I think so. And it's been pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
Obviously we have the hockey going on and whatever is going on at the rink can dominate your mind a little bit, but there's just so many things to do on an off day that when you just want to get your mind away from the athletic stuff, it's easy to just go see some new things and get natural joys. So yeah. I've loved it. My wife loved it as well. And then our dog, we kind of live through his joy as well. So we go to the mountains and see him run around and we're just like, life's good. You know,
what's your lovely place here in Rosenheim?
Yeah, it's beautiful. I'm right, near downtown. So just being able to walk, to the Altstadt is something that I find always, okay. It always hits. And then Max Josef Platz is super nice as well. Yeah. So, a lot of really nice areas, yeah. Okay.
Now we end up with the second period and go to the third. We're looking forward to the games on the next weekend. You play at Freiburg on Friday. Mm-hmm. I make it in German a little bit. Die Stabler spielen am Freitag um 19.30 Uhr in Freiburg. Und am Sonntag dann das nächste Heimspiel, 17 Uhr, gegen die Ravensburg Tower Stars. Alles zu diesen Spielen gibt es natürlich auf OVB Media, in den OVB Heimatzeitungen und auf den sozialen Kanälen von OVB Media. And yeah, the game on Friday, Freiburg, the first game against Freiburg this year. What's your aim? 6 points? The first 6 points in this weekend?
Yeah, I think that would be nice. Freiburg, we haven't really looked into them a ton yet, but I know it's always tough to go play there. Another pretty long road trip as well, but I think it's one of those games where we just have to stay with the simple mindset that we've had lately because they have some forwards that can really take advantage of opportunities they have, and I've always felt that way against them. You just gotta try and limit their great chances and then play simple and hope that you can get a few goals that way, and then maybe power play goal, maybe they break down a little bit and then you can score some better chances as well. But every team in this league, you just gotta bring a good effort and I think it could happen. And then Ravensbury, they're always really strong. Mm-hmm. So that'll be another good one, but that'll be at home and good energy. So It's exciting.
Yeah, Freiburg at this point, they are second to last, only won two games. Is that that a kind of game that you simply have to win?
Yeah, I guess, but I think it's simply. Yeah, well, no, we definitely want to win that game for sure. But I think as much as the wins and losses matter, I think at this point it's about building to a point where we're playing consistently, and I think we're starting to do that. And hopefully we can just kind of continue the weekend that we just had. Like if we took a step back after what we did this last weekend, I think that would be upsetting. So I think it's more about the process of getting to where we're playing our best every weekend. So that's our focus, really.
Hmm. The opponent, Ravensburg, on Sunday, they play today, the day we produce this podcast, against Düsseldorf, and didn't play on Friday. Is it an advantage for them?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. You know, I think a lot of it just comes down to what you're doing on that day. It's easy to look into that. But then sometimes maybe mentally, if you're expecting there to be an advantage, it could be a disadvantage.
You could be a little bit more in the rhythm.
Yeah, for sure. I agree that that could be the case. I just think in general, it's such a day by day thing where sometimes you feel so good and everything's lined up to be perfect, and then you go and don't do your best. So it's really about just kind of resetting and making sure that you're doing everything you can on that day. So we'll try not to worry about their rhythm, and hopefully we can take them down. You know, yeah.
So far, the Stables haven't been able to grab a regulation time home win this season. Thomas, how do you assess the Tower Stars? Will the Mangfallkurve celebrate the first 3 points at home?
Yeah, I hope they can make 3 points at home. I say it like a coach. It will be a tough game. There's no weak team in the league. Every game is hard. You have to concentrate 100%. What did the coaches say anymore?
Well, yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. Yeah, it's true. And I just usually in my interviews, I just kind of regurgitate the same thing. But it is just it's that simple. It's just you got to, you know, got to put pucks deep and go to the net.
Make a good screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Luis, you already scored the goal that earned the team the first win this season. Why not score the first goal to win 3 points?
That sounds pretty good. I'll do my best. Yeah, no, that'd be great. And I think even though we've had a couple tough ones at home, I do think that we've had good energy at home. And I know that we're going to keep building to be one of those teams that people don't want to come play. Having been on the road side, when I was in Bietigheim during playdowns, I know how tough it is to play with the fans we have here as a road player. So I think, you know, as everything's coming together, I feel like our play mixed with the fan support is going to make it really hard to win. And that, I think, will lead to us getting some more, or not some more, but to start getting 3 points at home.
What was the feelings about after your game winner against Landshut? The crowd is
cheering. It was crazy. It was especially that early in the year, the derby energy, and first weekend is always it's always crazy energy because there's such a build up to it, right? And then eventually you get into the swing of playing games twice, three times a week, and it's a little less. Although it's emotional, it's less emotional than those first couple games at home. So the first derby ending that way, and it was so hot and just so many things that made it an interesting game. So for me to be able to do that at home with the fans was crazy. And then just witnessing it from a player, the Düsseldorf and Landshut games were... you can't hear anything. It's crazy.
I was standing.
I try to explain it to North American who haven't been to a German hockey game. Yeah. And once they end up seeing it in person, they're like, oh my gosh, this is really crazy. Yeah.
Okay, that concludes our episode 76 of Hard Gecheckt. Thank you, Lewis, for having me here. As always, thank you for listening. Good luck for the upcoming games. And don't forget to seal the 3-point win on Sunday.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you.
But it can also be the 3-point win on Friday also.
Yeah, we'll do both. How about both?
Yeah. I said in German, danke schön, das war Hart Gecheckt, Nummer 76. Danke fürs Zuhören und danke schön an Lewis Sörter-Gossetsch, unseren sehr sympathischen Gast heute. Und wir sehen uns entweder live im Stadion oder wir hören uns bei der nächsten Ausgabe von Hart Gecheckt. Vielen herzlichen Dank nochmal und Servus.
Ciao.
Danke.
Podcast schon vorbei? Dann gleich noch was einkaufen. Hart Gecheckt wurde präsentiert von Prechtl Bad Aibling, Brandenburg, Raubling und Bad Fallenbach. Bis zum nächsten Einkauf und zum nächsten Podcast.